Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 20. This is God's Word. One day as he was teaching the people in the temple courts and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, together with the elders, came up to him. "Tell us by what authority you are doing these things," they said. "Who gave you this authority?" He replied, "I will also ask you a question. Tell me, John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, because they are persuaded that John was a prophet." So they answered, "We don't know where it was from." Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." He went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one also they beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. "This is the heir," they said. "Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. "What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others." When the people heard this, they said, "May this never be." Jesus looked directly at them and asked, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." The teachers of the law and the chief priests looked for a way to arrest him immediately because they knew he had spoken this parable against them, but they were afraid of the people. Keeping a close watch on him, they sent spies who pretended to be honest. They hoped to catch Jesus in something he said so that they might hand him over to the power and authority of the governor. So the spies questioned him, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right, and that you do not show partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" He saw through their duplicity and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose portrait and inscription are on it?" "Caesar's," they replied. He said to them, "Then give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." They were unable to trap him in what he had said there in public. And astonished by his answer, they became silent. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. "Teacher," they said, "Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her, and in the same way, the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her?" Jesus replied, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection." But in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. Some of the teachers of the law responded, "Well said, teacher," and no one dared to ask him any more questions. Then Jesus said to them, "How is it that they say the Christ is the son of David? David himself declares in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' David calls him Lord. How then can he be his son?" While all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "I tell you the truth," he said, "this poor widow is put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand, but the waves are calling out my name.
One day as he was teaching the people in the temple courts and preaching the good news, the chief priests and teachers of the law together with the elders came up to him and said, "Tell us by what authority you are doing these things. Who gave you this authority?" They didn't like Jesus. If you look at the previous chapter, it ends this way. Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on his words. So the question that's being asked here is not an academic question. The question that's being asked here is not that of a spiritual seeker. The question that's being asked is an accusatory question. They were upset with Jesus, and basically what they're saying to him is, "Where do you get off doing this? How is it that you think you have a right to say the things you're saying and do the things you're doing?" Jesus, for example, had repeatedly angered them by healing people on the Sabbath. Imagine. Now, what was frustrating was that they couldn't deny the people were being healed, but Jesus wasn't behaving like them. You see, what was upsetting was that Jesus had introduced this whole dimension of reality to what for them was a bunch of religious ritual. God forbid that this might actually be true, I'd have to change the way I live. My priorities would be just completely turned upside down. So they came to Jesus very angry, very upset. Literally, we just saw they'd already decided they wanted to kill him. They're looking for a way to kill Jesus. And so they say, by what authority? Who gave you this authority? And Jesus replied with a question. I will also ask you a question. Tell me, John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men? In other words, where did John get his authority? They said, give us a minute. They consulted among themselves and they said, if we say it's from heaven, he'll say, then why didn't you believe? You guys didn't go down and get baptized. But if we say it was just human, not from heaven, then the people are going to stone us because the people are all convinced that John was a real prophet. So they said, we don't know. Jesus said, well, then I'm not going to answer your question either. The main point today, God isn't afraid of your questions. Some of you come here and you've got a whole lot of questions because this is all brand new to you. If this is all new to you, if you're not really familiar with this, that's okay. And it's fine to ask questions. There's no such thing as a stupid question. That's not true. But it's still okay to ask, okay? It's okay to ask questions. And when they came to ask Jesus, they were not looking for the truth. They were looking for some way to trip him up, to make him look bad, to get him in trouble either with the people or with the government. If we can get him to say something in order to please the people that will anger the government, we can get the government to kill him for us. And that is what they ended up trying to do with Pilate. They said, we have no king but Caesar. They hated Caesar. The last thing they wanted was to have to submit to Caesar. But if they could present Jesus as an insurrectionist, then Pilate would have an excuse to have Jesus killed. Pilate knew it wasn't true. But Pilate let them exploit the system, as politicians sometimes do. So they asked these questions not because they wanted to learn and grow and become more godly, not because they really wanted to understand who Jesus is, but because they were looking to trip him up. And I want to ask you, what is the basis of your questions? Jesus asked questions too. They kept hitting him with questions, and he responded time after time with questions. When they said, by what authority? He said in verse 3, I will also ask you a question. Tell me about John's baptism. Then Jesus told them the parable of the talents, which was a story that the people understood as being a reference to the fact that Messiah is going to be rejected, and that the consequence of their rejecting Messiah is that they would be wiped out. Jesus had already warned of this. They responded when Jesus said, what then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When the people heard this, they didn't say, gee, I wonder what he's talking about. They said, may this never be, because they understood his point. Jesus looked directly at them and asked, another question, then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. Jesus knew that Messiah had to be rejected in order to accomplish his mission. And so he asked them, what does that mean? Well, the teachers of the law and the chief priests looked for a way to arrest him immediately because they knew he had spoken this parable against them, but they were afraid of the people. They're looking to kill him, and the only thing holding them back is they're afraid they might get hurt. So, keeping a close watch on him, they sent spies who pretended to be honest. There are people who pretend to have honest questions, but they don't. And they come with flattery. They hope to catch Jesus in something he said so they might hand him over to the power and authority of the governor. And so they said, look, we know you speak and teach what is right and that you do not show partiality but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. That is a true statement that is a lie. How can it be true and a lie? Because the point of saying something that was true was in order to get someone to believe something that was not true. They wanted Jesus to think they were on his side. So they said things about him that were true. He teaches without partiality. He teaches the truth in accordance with the way of God. But they were trying to make him think that because they said that about him, which was true, that they were on his side and he could trust them because they were trusting him. They weren't trusting him, and he knew better than to trust them. He saw through their duplicity and said to them, show me a denarius. Whose portrait and inscription is on it? Here he is again asking questions. Did Jesus not know? No, everybody knew. But Jesus gets them to bring him a coin and he says, you're asking about taxes? Whose picture is that? They said, Caesar's. I love the way Jesus turns this around. He says, then give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Where is God's image and likeness? It's in humans. And one of the greatest evils in our day is that people are believing the lies of the enemy and refusing to recognize the image of God in children in the womb, in old people who need help, and in themselves, created male and female, bearing God's likeness together. So, they were unable to trap him in what he'd said there in public, and astonished by his answer, they became silent. In run the theological liberals, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in demons. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They were the ones who just thought the Bible had a lot of mythology. They're still around today. Foolish, foolish people. So they tell this story. It's a hypothetical. Hypothetical questions stink. But it's a hypothetical, okay? Suppose there's this man. He dies without children. So his brother marries the widow in obedience to Mosaic law, and he dies without children. And then so on and so on until there have been seven brothers. Whose wife will she be in the resurrection since she was married to all seven? What are you going to do with that one, Jesus, huh? Jesus says, this really isn't a dilemma. Because in the resurrection, we're not married. If you think that that person that you love, that you want to marry, is going to be your partner, your husband, your wife, through all eternity, hand in hand, walking streets of gold, not according to Jesus. I don't get to be married in heaven? No, not like that. Those who are in heaven are the bride of Christ, and our devotion is to him, and he is our great love forever. So, Jesus then goes on and says, you're completely wrong about the resurrection. It's real. It's real. And then no one dared ask him any more questions, it says. But Jesus wasn't finished. He said to them, how is it that they say the Christ is the son of David? David himself declares in the book of Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. David calls him Lord. How then can he be his son? Well, now wait a minute. I've got a question. Jesus, are you saying that the Messiah is not the son of David? No, he is the son of David. He's human. Jesus is fully human. He's a descendant of David. The genealogy is in Luke and in Matthew of Joseph and of Mary, both going back through the line of David. Because Messiah wasn't pretending to be human. He is human, born of a virgin. But he's also God. He's not just man. He is fully divine. He is the son of David, but he is the Lord. Jesus is pointing them to the scriptures and saying, you need to believe all that it says, including the fact that David calls him Lord. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. While all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. That's prideful. That's not all. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely. See, Jesus saw the heart. He knew what was going on, and he wasn't afraid to call them out. But then as he looked up, the beginning of chapter 21, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury, and he saw also a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. And Jesus said, she's given more than all the others because they gave out of their abundance. She gave everything she had to live on. Behind me is the picture we talk about from time to time, where a little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Andrew told him, the master needs it. And the little boy said, I can share. Okay? How about if I just keep one of the fish and, let's see, I can let him have 4 of the loaves. It's not what he said. Can I have half a fish? Okay. This is my lunch. Mama packed this. Okay? She wouldn't want me to give the whole thing away. That would be kind of foolish. Everybody's getting hungry. How is this going to help? He gave it all. What does God want from you? Everything. He wants all my money? Oh, way more than that. He wants you. He wants your time. He wants your abilities. He wants your relationships. He wants everything. Everything. Don't hold anything back. Why would he want that? He will do more with your life than you can imagine. You don't know the impact that it can have. But you do know, if you are wise, that everything we are and everything we have, we owe to him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.